Hello, everybody, and welcome back to Grid Gas Bags. I'm Eleanor and
I am Katrina. Good morning.
Happy Sunday.
Yeah, happy Sunday. We are in week two of the first triple header of the year. I am not fatigued yet.
It's only week two, though.
Well, however, I reckon
week two, race 15.
Same thing. I reckon, though, after it'll be Sunday morning when we're recapping Monza qualifying next week. And then you and I are going to be tired because then it's like, yeah, I need that week break in between. Because although this is interesting, it really takes up the entirety of our weekends.
I was going to say, I'm not tired. Well, then again, saying I'm not tired. I stayed up.
You woke up this morning and watched it. I stayed up.
So FP3 was showing around 7 p.m.?
Yeah, 7 about 7 p.m. Perth for time. Us.
And
no, 6.
It was by the time it started, like 7 p.m. Perth time. And then the qualifying was supposed to start around 9 p.m. or 9:30. I can't remember which one. And we had gone out the night before so tired. I was like, screw it. I'm going to go to bed at 8 p.m. like a nana. Best decision ever. Woke up at 5 a.m., went for a walk, came back home, watched qualifying, and it wasn't even 9 o'clock yet.
Yeah, no, Eleanor.
Best decision. I'm great.
Eleanor smart. I was a fool last night. Finished watching FP3 after it finished, went on F1 Tumblr, and I'd started scrolling back for everything that I'd missed during the day. One perk about being in Australia is our time zones are completely opposite to everyone else, so you can really catch up over the F1 night bloggers. It's actually quite good.
That's how time zones work.
Yeah, I know, but like most of the people I follow aren't from here, so it's good because my dash is always...
maybe not Perth, is there?
I follow a couple Australians on there, but there really isn't.
So there's not an Australian presence in
No, I think there F1 is. Tumblr. No, there definitely is. However, a lot of them are very painfully biased to only Australians. Like I do follow some specific Daniel Ricciardo blogs. I do follow some specific Piastri blogs, but I don't only follow just those two. I follow a lot more of the general Ferrari and overall
Forza Ferrari.
Yeah, and overall the ones that will post multiple drivers on there. So I was having a grand old time just scrolling back through
what's the type of stuff that you see?
Like all of the results.
Explain to me and the viewers.
And then it got
explain to me and the listeners because I don't have F1 Tumblr. And just in case anyone is outside of our demographic, what it is.
Okay, so
and Tumblr, why?
Tumblr is a social media platform that has been around for, I'm going to say like 15 years or so. It's been around
that
for
long?
A very long time, yeah.
Okay.
Almost as long as Facebook, I think. And
no, really?
Yeah, well, I think so. Think about it when we first got our Tumblrs. It was 2011.
Mm. Back when Yahoo was a thing.
Yeah, exactly. No, so
because Yahoo bought out Tumblr.
That's a different story for another
anyway,
day.
Anyway, so Tumblr is social media platform.
Yeah, so Tumblr is a picture based typically social media platform. At least that's what it started out with. And for those of you who are familiar with Pinterest or Instagram, it's very much you have your own individual page, as it's referred to as a blog, and that there you can just either post original content or you can reblog content from other Tumblrs, and it really forms a community. And you have a dashboard where everyone you follow, all of their posts pop up, like your Instagram feed or your TikTok for your page.
Wait, can it link to your TikTok now?
I'm pretty sure you can link it all. I don't know any blogs who have linked.
I was gonna say that is a slippery slope.
Because one good thing that people do like about Tumblr is that you can be completely honest with who your personality is, and a lot of people do have identifying features on their pages. They've got
what do you mean by identifying features?
Some people have their names, their locations,
Oh, identifiable features.
Yeah, sorry. Okay. Their profile pictures in there that are actually of them. But a lot of people treat it as an anonymous platform, but it's still quite positive in the anonymous platform. So, for example, I have my blog from 2011. You still have your blog from 2011.
Yeah, I've lost the password.
So
I went through a phase of just like reblogging clouds because I'm like, oh, this is cool.
Yeah, no, and you know what? There are still ones like that. However,
shout out to the cloud blogs out there.
Yeah, shout out. Do you love the color of the sky? If anyone gets that reference,
I'm always so annoyed whenever that pops.
They've created a feature on Tumblr now that's a long post filter. Yeah, so but what's you the fun click, in that? You can click long post and it's like, do you want to read more? I know you can't troll anyone. But so F1 Tumblr is typically relatively quiet on non-race days. So if it's not the Thursday media, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, it's relatively quiet.
Not the Monday? Like the Monday after?
No. Typically it's Sunday night and it's a little bit of Monday morning where we are. But a lot of it is just reposting pictures from the official photographers, the teams, team admin, screen grabs from Twitter, screenshots from news articles. I
love a good screenshot.
Yeah. And everyone's commentary is held within the tags. And it's got a really nice – sometimes it can be a very toxic community depending on which side of Tumblr you're on. But it can also be extremely positive. I would say typically like a Monday through before Thursday, unless there's been a media release or there's been indication that something's going to happen on race weekend earlier in the week, it's just throwback pics. So I was on my dash this morning and about 15 like teenage dirtbag Nico Rosberg pictures popped up in a row.
Nico Rosberg
yeah.
pictures?
Yeah, like really old ones.
I've seen the Kimi Raikkonen ones.
It's the equivalent of that. And someone had just...
All right, explain the trend for anyone who doesn't know what this trend is.
So I would hope people understand what the teenage dirtbag trend is. So it's people have been juxtaposing pictures of their current self playing Wheatus's teenage dirtbag in the background, and then they'll flick back when the chorus hits two pictures of them in their teenage years, typically in what they would look like a rebel, or when they're going through their emo phase or their punk phase.
Kimi Raikkonen being Kimi Raikkonen.
Yeah, so Kimi Raikkonen's one. And someone did that with Rosberg this morning. It was about a 15-picture compilation of this one blog just being like, I'm weak for young Nico Rosberg. And that's it, because – at the moment now, there's all the content from the weekend's gone out and it's paused between the sessions. So my dashboard was full of young Nico Rosberg this morning, Max Verstappen being hoisted into the air like a rag doll from that kickboxer after qualifying. Tiny.
So, yeah, and then context, after qualifying.
Wait. And then the other one that's also just been plastered all over my dashboard is the stereotypical Ferrari thirst trap that gets released at least once every 2 weeks now. And people are just slowed down the gift.
Explain what you told me last night.
So Ferrari released, it was right before their FP3 session. Yeah. And there's become a joke around F1 Tumblr, and it's when Ferrari think that Carlos and Charles are not going to perform well over the weekend, they're going to put up a Instagram or a TikTok that is literally just a thirst trap. It zooms into the drivers' faces, bodies. They will slow-mo movements of them getting in and out of bathtubs or playing with like tennis balls or soccer balls. So it becomes synonymous that Ferrari will release these on weekends they think they're going to do poorly. Anyway, it popped up on my dashboard before I saw it on my Instagram. And someone had immediately responded with a text post on Tumblr being like, Ferrari, you need to mute these thirst traps. I am only human. Now, I didn't have my audio on when I watched it.
The audio was completely off. I'm like, oh, look, here's a video of Charles getting into a ice bath.
Oh, again.
Look, he's kicking a soccer ball against a wall. Great.
And I saw that Tumblr post and I was like, hold on, like, Eleanor, turn your audio on and we'll have a listen to this. And I was like, I understand.
I shouldn't be listening to this with my sister.
And I was like, I feel so uncomfortable because neither of us listened to it with our headphones. It was just out aloud playing in the living room. And I was like, oh, this has crossed a line.
It's like, I'm only human.
And I was like, yes, like whoever posted
that. Ferrari know their market.
Ferrari
know their target market.
I reckon that the person who is, I wouldn't say in charge of Ferrari social media or in charge of Ferrari, like the admin of their social media accounts. However, I reckon the person.
Like someone in like the scene.
I reckon just someone in that team. I don't even think they're senior.
No, like a senior position being like, you look like you'll know what's happening.
Yeah.
You run
and then
this.
That person's gone, you know what?
Easy.
what do I want to see? I reckon they've gone and said.
Let me tell you something.
I reckon they've gone and put a poll out to their friends being like, guys, what do you want to see this week?
So, and then there's someone within that group chat being like, yeah, Bush has a nice bath again. We need that content. And then this person's gone, yeah, like, you know what?
Let's put
him in an ice bath. Look, there's sun out. That means it's warm. Who cares if it's warm? And then in response to that, my Tumblr dash was also full of Haas. So the Haas admin must be of the same age as the Ferrari admin.
Because we know that the Aston Martin media
is a guy our age from...
I think he's from like Melbourne or Sydney.
Yeah,
or
the Gold Coast. To be honest, everyone's from those three.
You've got to admit, Aston Martin's presence on online. TikTok, oh, the guy.
It's really...
But it's really nice because it's tailored to Australian humour. You're like, oh, I love
it. Have you seen the one of Vettel... Do you follow... Do you still have your TikTok or did you...
No, I deleted it because I spent too much time on it.
All right. So there was... I'm not sure if you've seen it then on Reels then on Instagram, but there was Aston released...
I don't really look at Reels, to be honest.
No, okay. Well, I'm going to tell you what it is anyways. Good. So there's the trend of Johnny Cash's Ring of Fire that's blown up over the past few weeks and it's good just song. People running in a field at night with anything in their hand. The first one that we found was a guy just holding a goat.
To the chorus. Like running, dun, 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 and this dude's just running down a field holding a goat.
Anyway, so Aston Martin did two of them. The first one that they released was of a mechanic putting on like his uniform to get to the pit lane. He was running down the paddock, just getting changed. But he had clothes on, but like he was putting on
his uniform,
his overall jacket, and he was putting on his hat, and he was pulling on his gloves, and he was running.
I like the ingenuity, but also linking it to the race weekend.
Anyway, someone in the comments was like, oh, Seb always runs to and from the driver briefings. Why don't you just run next to him and film him? And then a TikTok pops up.
This is going.
Like a day or two later, and Seb just running regularly. He's not holding anything. He's just running regularly with the determined face that he's late to this driver's briefing. And then they're filming a TikTok of him running along the paddock. And
You need to show me this.
I'll find it for you after we record it. And I can just imagine, because Vettel's in his own little world. Vettel doesn't look at the guy with the camera because obviously he'd be used to it at this point in time. Like he's been filmed for like, 15 years on the grid.
Yeah.
But I can just imagine the person in charge of the Aston TikTok's gone, oi, follow him. And you know what? Run next to him, but make sure that you're filming this TikTok. So I'm just picturing this just mechanic running. Just going, oh yeah, give me a phone. I don't know what TikTok is, but I'm going to just film Vettel running. Not Where's from Vettel? The front, which is typically filmed from, but it's along. It's
along. Oh, so he's got to match the pace of him. See, I thought...
No, he's running alongside.
In my mind, I thought that it was like the mechanic, like filming Vettel running towards him. This is like someone running next to him.
Is the mechanic running side by side? Vettel's facing forward. The mechanic is running forward, but you can tell that not just the phone, but his whole body is twisted to the left based on the camera angle of how this phone is being used.
I love
hilarious. That. So you know what? F1 Tumblr is a great place. F1 TikTok is also a great place. Just for those of you who are on there, which I assume that you are at least aware of it.
Be a little bit
That's why
when I was on TikTok,
the block feature and the filter feature are amazing.
Quite negative.
I would prefer F1 Tumblr over F1 TikTok because on your phone there's a filtering option, and people are actually quite good at using tags now. Every single post is tagged,
no one ever uses
which is great.
Tags.
So I have the anti-tag filtered for a lot. So anything
what's an anti-tag?
So people will now actually tag their hate blogs or their hate posts.
What?
So because it's all opinion based. Okay. There's so for example, after the qualifying, there was a lot of commentary around the use of flares, and there's been a meme that's going around, and it's one of Drake, and you know, it's like, you used to call me on your cell phone, and then it's the three pictures of him.
The meme. Yep.
Well, yeah. So the first one is just like, ban alcohol from the tracks, and then the other one is ban flares from the tracks. But then the actual one where he like nods and goes okay is ban the Orange Army from the tracks. However,
no, but they bring the atmosphere. But
exactly. But the thing is in like the
media presence,
the specific post of it has gone anti Max Verstappen, anti MV, anti MV1, anti MV33.
Really?
So although it's a hate post, they've tagged their content in order to allow it. So then if I have anti-Max Verstappen as a filter on mine, I will not actually see that post pop up on my dashboard. Wow. I would just see this
post has been filtered based on this hashtag. Click it if you want to see it. Pretty much, oh, it's so like, it gives you, the you know, option. The YouTube commentary, and it's like the YouTube screen that you get. And it's like, this video has not been made available in your country.
Annoying, but yes.
Yeah, it's literally that, but with your filtered content. So I will always prefer going on to.
It's very considerate.
It is. And people post
very
everything
too, because like
everything
if you don't
is
wanna,
tagged
if
now.
You don't
want to
see something, you're like, great, I can like ignore this.
But even people will tag their anons. So like, if you get an anonymous question,
wow,
or like, an, so there's
that's
a lot
dedication.
Of there's a lot of F1 wag, so F1 wives and girlfriends hate on Tumblr. I reckon it's just because the girls are jealous of the partners of the drivers, because you know what, who wouldn't be?
Do you want to hear it before we continue? Well, do you want to hear a blonde moment about what I thought wag stood for?
What?
Western Australian girls. I'm like,
no.
Very inclusive, but also very specific
no,
thing to be calling every single wife and girlfriend of a sporting
Western Australian.
Star. Yeah. Anyway. No.
So it's wives and girlfriends. So there's a lot of F1 wag hate on Tumblr. However.
Hate?
Yeah, because people are jealous and they want to be in that position. And there are some younger supporters on there and they can't separate the difference between I have a crush and I'm going to actually make someone's life a living hell online. Which is a shame.
Wow.
However, people will now tag their anons. So for those of you who don't
anonymous
know,
posts.
An anon is, so each blog you can have set up as like a message me. So like you can send like a DM, so a direct message, or you can send an anonymous message where you can click the box so that your blog is not known and the question that you ask to that blog will be written with the author as anonymous. People will actually tag their anons now and they will tag a non-hate, a non-question or like tea time or F1 tea or F1 drama or F1 gossip.
Tea time?
Yeah, like oh, spill the tea sis.
Oh, okay.
But they will tag it now. So it's really good. So I would rather go on there, have all the hate filtered out as opposed to go on TikTok, scroll and really run the gauntlet of I don't know what I'm going to get. I could get like just a compilation of Carlos thirst traps, but I could also just get
not
a compilation
a
of like crashes. I could just get a compilation of someone just...
Charles screaming no.
Yeah, just like, oh, I...
Sorry, I know you. I know you absolutely hate it. There's an,
I hate that. There's, so there's, watch, there's another we, F1 TikTok. Hold on,
We stream it off of a streaming platform called KO, which is the one way
it's the only way we can watch it if we don't purchase Foxtel, which, you know, I am not going
to
do.
It's the only way that we can watch that and other sports from home without having to pay an arm and a leg for something.
Yeah, because we can watch all the swimming, we can watch the diving. If we want to watch the rugby,
we can watch the
rugby. We watch the rugby, which we do.
Anyway, one of the leading ads on Australian KO advertising.
It's a nightmare.
Uses Charles Leclerc's no.
Okay, there's a really funny
and
TikTok.
Katrina hates it. She absolutely hates it. Whenever
but the
that
worst
comes
thing
on,
is
she
is that
has her like headphones on and she can just hear it. It's like her ears are attuned. She's like, oh.
But the worst part is that ad
piercing scream
is placed upon a piece of classical music that I used to play.
What?
Dun, 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 bum, bum,
oh, the really, bum. Really motivating one. That looks like it could be from V for Vendetta.
Yeah, but I used to be able to play that piece of music when I was in high school. So I'm like, oh, yeah, I hear like
the
opening chords of the piano.
The cello.
So yeah, I used to play
there are not many key cello songs out there. So when a cello song does.
This isn't
watch,
a cello song. It's a piano song. But it was like, we can play this. I used to be able to play that in high school. And I'm like, oh, yeah, I hear the opening tune. And I'm like, yeah. Oh, and then I hear the no comes in like maybe 5 seconds after that first chord
her
on the piano. And I'm like,
hilarious.
Oh, I was hoping for something good.
But her reaction's hilarious every single time.
They've used that scream from Paul Ricard in a TikTok as well. So do you remember, I'm going to throw back here like a decade, Taylor Swift's
No, the
goat Taylor Swift.
Have they swapped that?
Trouble. So I've seen one, and it's of Taylor Swift. I knew you were trouble when you walked in. There you go. it's called Trouble. No,
have they replaced the goat screaming
so replaced
with Charles Leclerc?
Yeah, but it's not just with Charles Leclerc. So they've replaced the there's I Knew You Were Trouble When You Walked In by Taylor Swift. And then the scream in the chorus where she goes, no, was swapped out for the sound of a goat screaming.
Like
2013 or something.
No, not a goat screaming, a goat bleating.
Bleating, that's the word, bleating.
Goat
back in like
scream.
2013 or something. It was huge when we were at uni. However, on TikTok, someone's gone, you know what, this was a funny meme a decade ago. We're going to do the same thing. And they've reinvent
the wheel. Just change the wheel.
Just change the wheel. But they've not, but one, okay, one, they've done it inclusive. So they've done it with the Taylor's version of the song, which is great, instead of the original. So, you know what, inclusive for Taylor Swift.
I can't tell the difference.
Trust me, you can at that point in the song.
Oh, can you?
Yeah, yeah. It's
most of the re-releases sound the so, new ones so less, similar. You're like, well.
The new one's less aggressive. Like the tonality of the voice is less punchy. That's a shame. So the first one is they do it and then there's Charles Leclerc's and it's like Charles Leclerc screaming, no. And then there's like two of Lance Stroll also screaming, no.
How do you know it's Stroll?
Because they cut the visual to where the driver sound has come from.
So when you're
watching
there's
one of Leclerc on the wall.
It's Leclerc screaming and then Stroll. When has Stroll screamed no?
He's done it at least twice over the past 5 years.
Okay, good to know. His no tally twice.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I think one was also – there was one in a race this year. But yeah, so that's what we've spent our time on. It's
you say we, you mean you.
And I tell you and all the funny things I find. I'm like, Eleanor, come look at my phone. I'm going to scroll through the things I've flagged.
So like for context, like I was setting up – so I'll be the first to admit I am not that great with technology. I mean, I'm good.
You're good with technology, not with microphones. Microphones are not your strong point.
Every single time, like I've watched so many YouTube videos trying to – so we used to record this off of our like our phone and then we got microphones because I was sick and tired of my phone having no storage.
And sitting on the floor and crouching
and
over
floor,
your phone.
Crouching near a phone. Yeah. Anyway, so got some microphones off of Amazon and without a doubt, I've watched so many tutorials about how to set these up every single time. It takes me at least half an hour. What? The time before.
Yeah,
it took
me
an
hour. You're rushing it though.
It took me an hour before. And the reason why it didn't work before is I had to restart my computer.
Yeah. And
anyway.
You,
so I'm trying to set these microphones.
Then, when was the last time you turned your computer off? Yeah.
My computer is sleeping.
Perpetually
we
sleeping.
Need sleep.
You so know you're computer, actually meant to turn your computer off.
We need sleep. My computer needs sleep.
Yeah. And sleep is off.
Shutting down is bad for me. Shutting down is bad for your my computer. Anyway. So I was trying to set up these microphones and yeah, I don't pack them away nicely at the end of each record.
Each time you talk about one of these podcasts.
Record, we just like tangle up all the cords together and put them in a
and
pile.
And hope for the best.
Anyway, so here I am trying to untangle some cords and Katrina's like, oh, look at these funny TikToks. I'm like, now is not time. I've got one set of headphones connected in one ear for one microphone and the other in the other one. And Katrina's like, look at this TikTok. I'm like, great timing, Katrina. Thank you.
I appreciate
you.
It. But so you know, it's not going anywhere.
When you say we, you mean you and then you show me the good ones.
Or if you won't watch them, I'll be like, now, I'm going to
just shove her phone in my face. Look at this. Anyway, so.
Should we actually talk about qualifying?
Well, you did. You talked about F1
slash
Tumblr.
The news of the week.
Well, no. You talked about the kickboxing dude picking up Max Verstappen. So
I saw that pop up on my dash last night and it was hilarious because someone had slow-moed him being picked up. And it made my evening.
So the dude picked up Max Verstappen because Max Verstappen got pole in qualifying. Let's do it in reverse. Let's talk about all the news. Okay,
yeah.
Great. So Max Verstappen got pole and was picked up by a kickboxer.
But I'm glad he got pole.
Picked up in a nice way. He wasn't kicked to the ground.
He wasn't kicked by the kickboxer.
The kickboxer like picked him up in like a bear hug. So
yeah, gripped, put his hand around his back and then hoisted him up into the air. I'm really glad that Verstappen got pole.
By
because
0.021.
Yeah. And then
he beat Leclerc.
And then Carlos Sainz was third by 0.093.
So it said that this, so between Leclerc and Verstappen, this was the closest 1-2
of the entire year so far. No, not of all time.
For this racing year. Yes. And then the difference between Sainz and Leclerc, then Sainz and Verstappen. It's going to make for a good, interesting start.
And that's it. I love it when it's really close like this. Like, don't get me wrong. I actually don't mind the 20-second, 30-second, 40-second lead races. Like, they can be interesting because you're like, great, that person's going to win. Cool. What's happening at the rest of the race? However,
but also
when it's really close like this.
Between people and they have to overtake.
Yeah, when it gets close like this, I think people know the way that the results are actually going to happen. But it leads you into this, like, false pretense that, you know, maybe something different. So that's what I'm going to say. I'm glad that Verstappen got pole. I actually like Max Verstappen. I know a lot of people don't. I really like him. However, I'm still a Ferrari fan, and I probably will always be. Leclerc has had more wins from not pole than he has from pole. So you know what?
Is that a statistic?
Nope, but that's what I'm telling myself in my mind. Oh, no, I think so. Because he's got like 7 poles this year and he's not won 7 times.
He's won at least once.
He's won at least 3.
There's at least 12 globes.
He's won 3 times, right?
At least 12 Earths in the sun. Yeah. but no, so the driving, the results from qualifying are
Verstappen, Leclerc, Sainz,
Hamilton, you can't read off this.
Perez, Russell. That's the top six.
Jeez, you've got a good memory.
I know that seven. I don't know who seven is, but I know that Schumacher is eight, and I know that Tsunoda is nine, and I know that Stroll is 10th. So who's – Norris must be seven. Is he?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, there you go.
Okay, go on.
Oh, okay.
Who's 11?
Oh, 11.
I only wrote down to 15, so I don't know 15 below, but go on.
I know Ricciardo's 18th.
Yeah, yeah. 11. Who's 11?
And I think Vettel is 16th.
I don't know. I told you, I only wrote from 1 to 15 on my piece of paper. I don't know who 16 is.
I think Vettel's 16.
I don't know. Maybe. Vettel, you're now 16.
There you go. 11. You know what? Who? Let's say Alonso's 11. Let's
wrong.
Try that.
They're wrong. French.
They're French? Gasly?
Yes.
Gasly's 11th.
Who's 12th?
Oh, good on him. Ocon?
They're also French, yeah.
Ocon. Oh, there you go. Okay. So Ocon is 12th. Alonso is 13th.
Yes.
14th. Magnussen. No, Magnussen finished 19th. Like, he did really badly in qualifying. He got out in Q1.
You literally have two drivers left. There are three drivers you've not said. You've not said
Zoe.
Albon, Latifi, or Zoe.
Zoe.
It goes Zoe, then Albon, yeah.
Yeah, I like Zoe.
Anyway. So, that's the results.
Zoe.
It's
Badum-chi.
I completely missed that joke. Do you want to repeat the joke?
No, by the way, keep going.
No,
keep
but
going.
Repeat the joke in hummus? Homage.
Oh, Jesus. Fromage.
Homage. Homage, because it's Father's Day here. So, repeat that dad joke.
There you go. So, Eleanor went, so, and I was like, well, Joe, because Joe was a name she said beforehand. Really poor joke. But you know what? It is Father's Day in Australia, so happy Dad Joke Day as well. Our dad's currently at work, so you know what? I will fill the role of lame jokes this morning. Oh, and I will do it with pride.
So she's just sitting here smiling. It's like, oh.
Yeah, I've got a real cheesy grin and I'm the happiest I've been in weeks.
Anyway, so it's going to be a very interesting race because apparently the right-hand side of the track, which is where Leclerc's starting on and where Hamilton
even
is behind,
numbers.
It's going to be the dirty side of the track. So
as per Nico Rosberg's commentary after the session we were watching,
love his comments.
He's like, yes, so now Lewis will be a buffer, but he is on the dirty side of the track and he is just, whoever is on his side eye where he's recording from, he's just staring at them and you can see that he's getting a smirk on his face and he's
trying
grinning.
He's trying to hide it by tilting his mouth down and it makes it more noticeable.
He's got Teams open. Like Microsoft Teams open.
No, I reckon someone's standing here would be like, say this.
I think so. I think someone is standing there, but I think he's got Microsoft Teams open because I heard the notification noise. And I was like, okay.
Did you?
Yeah, and I was like, well, the people in the paddock area don't have Teams on because they're standing in the middle of a crowd. So no one there has got Teams open next to the microphone.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have Teams on my phone. I've deleted it for like mental health purposes. Your work doesn't use Teams.
No, we don't use Teams.
So the only other audio source that Teams notification could have come from, unless Sky and Foxtel just decided to be like, yeah, let's, you know, spam this audio over the session, is from Rosberg's recording session.
Yeah.
So he's got someone there being like, oi, say this or don't say this. And he's got Microsoft Teams over and I reckon someone's spamming him going, say this.
But one interesting point on the commentary, they talked about Ricciardo leaving because it was announced on Friday, I think, or it was announced right before FP2.
It wasn't announced that Ricciardo was leaving. It was announced that Piastri was driving for them in 2023.
And go figure out leaving, you kind of three drivers. So Piastri
is
driving for 2023 McLaren. No, driving for McLaren 2023.
We were at a family dinner and a couple of our cousins there watch F1 as well.
Like one of the cousins, she has a photo with Nico Rosberg back
in
2016.
She's a huge fan.
It's the best photo she's ever had. Like she
loves it.
She loves that photo.
Anyway, so a couple of our cousins.
We've got two other F1
cousins who are really
F1 cousins.
Cousins who are really into F1. And
F1 cousins.
Yeah, F1 cousins. But they're actual cousins, like they're actually family.
thanks for the clarification of that.
We are related
dinner.
To them. And one of them went onto their phone and obviously saw the news about Piastri, like breaking news, Piastri for McLaren at 2023. And she just went, turned her phone over.
She was sitting opposite me and Katrina as well.
Yeah.
And she tried to make eye contact with her husband, being like, did he see me?
Yeah, because he flat out told her, don't tell me anything of the free practice sessions. Like, he wanted to watch it.
Because they're very big Mercedes fans.
Yes, they wanted to watch it in total, not have any spoilers on. And she checked Instagram and she's just gone, and put it down. I heard your joke and I ignored it.
I made the joke and I was like, eye contact, look at me, look at me. Did you hear my joke? So Piastri will be driving for McLaren in 2023. It's interesting because going back to what Nico Rosberg was saying is that how they did that was very similar to how Schumacher was dropped for Lewis back in way back when, before Lewis signed for Mercedes. 2013
is when he moved.
And it's like, and Rosberg was saying along the lines of, there's only so much that you can do with a car that's been built and designed for somebody else. You can be the best driver that there is, but if you can't...
A la Michael Schumacher.
Exactly. Schumacher was the best and he didn't do very well in the Mercedes. Why? Why did he not? Because it was made for somebody else. Well, and it's the same thing with Ricciardo leaving.
I don't necessarily think it was purely made for somebody else, but they knew
it
that
it wasn't designed for him.
And that's it. That's the difference. The difference is the car being designed for them or not for them.
Anyway, so Piastri's coming in.
But it's what you've said. The way you come into this sport
is the way that
is
you
the
leave.
Way you will leave. And you know what? That just applies not just for the people within like driving careers, but the same for you and I in an everyday session. If you go into a job in a very specific way, that's how you will leave your job. So just food for thought and to keep that at the back of your mind that's applicable. So be careful the way that you start your career because
you might be kicked up by Piastri.
Yeah, 30 years down the track. Specifically, not someone else. Just kicked up our Piastri. But the reason why I think this is so
interesting. It's an Australian kicking out another Australian.
And then that's why. Because they're saying that they want Jack Doohan to become. So Jack Doohan
was in the Alpine garage.
He's in the Alpine Driver Academy, which is, you know what, great for him. We watched his F2 performance like we mentioned last week. And I got emotional hearing that anthem on the stage. I saw that and I was like, yeah, Japan's Australia Fair.
Second verse.
Second verse.
Third verse that nobody knows.
I think he sang the wrong words though.
Yeah, well, he sang some of the words. As long as he got the chorus, it's fine.
True. The thing is so Doohan is
the chorus of a national anthem? Yeah, as long as he got the chorus.
I don't think there's a bridge, so we're fine. So anyway. Jack Doohan was in the Alpine garage and he's a part of the Alpine Driver Academy. And one thing that they've learnt from at least the Piastri debacle and the contract is Doohan is probably going to have a watertight contract next year. There's not going to be a single thing that will be able to get him out of his contract. Same as how Russell couldn't leave Williams because that contract was so well written. So kudos to Piastri and Webber, who's his manager, for having a really good legal agreement with McLaren. Good on them. The thing is with Doohan being Alpine's reserve driver, he's also another Australian. I wonder if the way that Piastri's moved to McLaren, when Doohan gets a chance at F1, because he seems to be up there with a couple that would migrate into that series in time, not yet, but in time. I wonder that when Doohan's first contract with whichever constructor he's with aligns with the end of Piastri's McLaren contract. Because they said it's a multi-year deal. They didn't say when, but they said multi-year deal.
Call.
I wonder if then that interaction, one Australia booting out another Australian for a contract. Here's a long shot of a theory. Doohan's going to try and go to a different team, like 2026 or whatever. Or maybe 2027. Piastri at that time will also probably try and go to a different team. Regardless of what team it is, I reckon Doohan will probably get the seat over Piastri. Only based on how Piastri kicked out Ricciardo. We're saying that he kicked out Ricciardo. He had no say in it. Ricciardo had no say in it. It was all management, right? I'm saying it's going to happen again. It seems to only happen to the Australians. So you know what? Let's make it a tradition. It's a bad tradition, but we've got plenty of those.
I mean, looking back at the contract review board, all of that, like I understand how, like Piastri, he's in a very
It's not his fault.
He's in a difficult position.
It's not his fault.
It's not his fault. It's been all led by McLaren. And same with Ricciardo. Ricciardo has been pushed out.
It's not Ricciardo's fault.
It's not been Ricciardo's doing. It's not been Piastri's doing. It's very, it would be awkward between the two knowing that both of them didn't start the conversation.
It's old men in a boardroom behind closed doors writing on napkins.
But the interesting thing is, didn't put this piece of information together, is that.
What, you or the.
I didn't.
Oh, okay.
I figured this out yesterday. So Piastri's manager is Mark Webber. Mark Webber used to drive for Red Bull. Red Bull has really, really close ties with Porsche. Porsche is one of the really big drivers. Who used to work for Porsche? Andrea Seidel. Who's the lead person of McLaren? Seidel. Who helps all the contracts? Seidel. Managed by Webber? Piastri.
We said that Piastri's going to go to Porsche in 2026, didn't we?
So that's where the ties have been closed. So I understand it now. But then again, it's prediction. Not been Piastri's doing. So I feel he's in such an awkward position.
Because it's a really negative commentary space to start your F1 career. But you know what? At least he's starting his career.
It's a way that people will remember you.
Yeah, I mean.
How did you start your F1 career? I kicked out Daniel Ricciardo. That sounds quite mean.
On the Tumblrverse,
it's mean, but it's factual.
Yeah. On the Tumblrverse, there's a thread being like, I hope DTS, so Drive to Survive, absolutely rips into McLaren because it's McLaren's handling of the conversation. And the thing is you can have all of these discussions and have all of these negative outcomes, but they don't have to be publicly broadcast for the fact that multiple senior people within McLaren have come out and made Ricciardo say that he's staying, even though they knew at the time when the timeline's now been released that he's been told he's leaving. You don't have to do that. Like sometimes you don't need to let all your dirty laundry out to air. Like you don't need to.
Speaking of Drive to Survive, I'm really interested to watch this year's Drive to Survive.
Me too.
Because this is the first year where we've watched the majority of the races, not just a couple. So I am
also in chronological order.
But I'm looking forward to the portrayal of all the events that have happened because we've been
following. And how they piece them together.
Yeah. We've been following along as the season and as the years progressed. Right? We've seen that Charles has won. We've seen that Verstappen's won. We've seen that Sainz has won. We've seen
the DNFs.
All of the information happen and then the interviews, like the contract review board. I wonder how they're going to spin the story.
And public commentary at the same time. And I think what's going to really spin that story is not just the results of who's gone 1, 2, 3 and who's gone last. And
it's the driver, it'll be the driver's seats for 2023.
I don't think that'll also only be the main driver. I think
it's one of them.
I think what they're going to do is the same as what the Haas admin have done, the same as what the Ferrari admin has done.
Targeted towards the young market.
Yeah, but like deep dive into social media. And I reckon there's just going to be a couple of people and they're just sitting. They've got a troll account or like a Finsta or something. And they're just reading through all of the commentary and they're going just people's opinions, but it's the people opinions of those who'll be watching the show. So why not? That's what I would do if I was in there. You know what, how do we market these and that's saying we're not in marketing or journalism. That's what I would do, at least to try and understand, because the whole purpose of this is you need the product to be sold. So why not investigate your target market, which really now is young people.
But speaking of opinions, what do you think the driver lineup will be for 2023? Because I saw something
23
on
now.
I saw
on Marcus Ericsson's tweet.
Yeah, I saw something on Instagram that Marcus Ericsson, he was a driver in maybe 2018. I think
he was Sauber teammate with Charles in 18.
Yeah, he didn't get a 2019 seat. Anyway, the Swedish driver released a quote unquote crazy tweet.
Yeah, he was like silly season, silly for a reason. Here's my predictions, right?
Yeah, saying what the predictions are going to be for 2023. And he has so far got everything correct.
For the information that's been made public, at least. So his predictions for the things that have been officially released so far, he's correct. There's still a couple that we don't know whether he's correct or not.
So what his predictions were, he knew that, I say knew, knew. He guessed that Alonso was going to go to Aston Martin and it'll be...
Because he releases right after Vettel retired. So he was like, Vettel's retired, this is what I think is going to happen, right?
Yeah, so it'll be Alonso. He said Alonso Stroll. He said it would be Piastri and Norris, so that's two for two. He then said it was going to be Ocon and Gasly.
Which he is 80% correct at the moment. It's pretty much unofficially official that Gasly's moving to Alpine because they caught it on a The driver's parade last race at Spa.
Someone, well, I haven't heard this.
Oh, you've not? Oh, yeah, yeah. You need to get F1 Tumblr or TikTok.
No, I'm not. No,
this I will tell you.
Tell me. You
so
can
there's
tell
a,
me.
There's a clip. So as I said before, people slow down and put subtitles onto GIFs of live recordings of the feed and then put it on Tumblr because they want to look at the slow-mos of their drivers walking or slow-mos of their teams putting on the wheel in the car. One of them that supports that theory that Gasly's going to Alpine is, one, he's not answered or denied anything. So when people have asked him in the
what is it? Silence is just as bad as omission?
No, but he's not being silent. He goes, I currently have a contract for AlphaTauri in 2023.
He's not lying.
No, but that's all he said. He said currently. And then he just smiles, like, which is, you know,
nothing's been
so incriminating. And then the other one is The camera person was following Carlos and Lando walking to the driver's parade at Spa, hoping to get those two walking to like the old cars. Mm. But behind them was Charles and Pierre walking. The microphone wasn't over Lando and Carlos having their conversation. The microphone was over Pierre and Charles. And I don't know why they would be speaking in English. Why would you be speaking in English when both of you speak French and there's less people around you who would be speaking French?
Maybe they wanted people to hear.
Unless they wanted people to be heard. And you can hear.
If that, you have a secret, tell the biggest gossip and then your secret is still a secret, but it's not a secret.
Yeah. The jokes to how I quit my job. That's what happened. I told the biggest gossip in the office and then it spread.
Anyway, go on. So what are they saying?
And then you can hear that Pierre's gone to Charles and he goes, yeah, it's pretty much all sorted, just working out the final details of the contract. And that's all he said.
And
that's
he had already all he said.
So he's not...
Sorry, she's a little bit sick, so she's coughing.
Yeah, sorry. And I just inhaled a little bit too quickly because I'm speaking too excited. Faster. Yeah, I'm too excited.
By the way, I'm not editing that out. That's...
Sorry. Listeners. At that point then, so that means
I'm not editing that out because I haven't figured out how to edit things out yet, so we haven't edited it.
So he's in contract negotiation at Spa. So officially...
So who's going to replace him at AlphaTauri?
Well, in France...
Marcus Ericsson's tweet.
So in France Tost's thing, he's confirmed that Tsunoda and the way that Tost said...
So who's that?
The way that... The team principal.
Okay, yeah.
The way that he phrased the response was, we have Tsunoda and Gasly for 2023. So he's now unofficially confirmed Tsunoda for AlphaTauri. So good on him. I like Tsunoda. Let's keep him.
Well, he did really well. He's now eighth. He's eighth from qualifying. No, that's Schumacher. He's ninth from qualifying.
Well, that's a good segue because Marcus Ericsson's tweet has predicted that Schumacher will fill Gasly's seat in AlphaTauri if Gasly was to move.
But also, what confirms that it might be Schumacher sitting with Tsunoda is that Schumacher has been a part of the Ferrari Young Driver Academy for a while.
That's going to terminate the contract in December.
Anyway, so he's no longer a part of the Ferrari Young Driver Academy.
Why should he be? Because he's had 2 years in F1. He's not really a young driver anymore.
Well, I think it's one of those things that you just keep because you're in it until you have to get rid of it. And he hadn't really thought about it. He's like, oh, Haas has a Ferrari power unit. I'll just keep it for the sake of keeping it, right? Like if it's not something super important, I can understand why you wouldn't think about it anyway.
But so, Schumacher going to AlphaTauri.
Well, he's got rid of his
Ferrari affiliations.
Well, he's got rid of his Ferrari affiliations through getting out of the Ferrari Young Driver Program, which means he can now drive for a Red Bull or Red Bull Power Unit team.
Which both Eleanor and I think it's not
Red Bull because they've got Sergio and Max. Yeah. So
Eleanor and I both think that Schumacher moving to AlphaTauri is not for the purpose of driving for AlphaTauri. We think that he recognizes that he probably will not go to Ferrari while Charles and Carlos are there because they're both doing really well. So he goes, okay, well, maybe I can't follow the footsteps of my dad. Why don't I try and carve my own footsteps and follow in the footsteps of Vettel?
Or a brand new team.
So both of them.
Audi.
And that's exactly it. So he can do what his dad did for Mercedes, move to a new team, establish it, and then dominate for a few years like Vettel did with Red Bull.
He's doing stepping stones to go into Audi or Porsche. Both are German teams.
And that's it. And both are one's affiliated with Red Bull and the other one's going to be affiliated with Mercedes. So one is with mentor. So Porsche is affiliated with Red Bull, his mentor, Vettel. The other will be affiliated with Mercedes, German.
How do you know that Audi will be associated with Mercedes.
Because they said that they're going to build their stuff in Germany and Mercedes is like a German company. Yeah.
Did they release that?
I remember seeing it somewhere. I don't know if it's official.
See, I thought Audi was going to be its own separate thing and then partner with...
But it's a Volkswagen company, which is German.
Yeah, yeah, but I thought Audi was going to then partner up with Sauber.
No, purchasing. Purchasing.
Okay, so what's the difference?
They're going to take over some of the facilities of Alfa Romeo Sauber because that partnership's ending in 2023 as well. I know it's confusing, but you know what? We'll follow it when it gets closer to the track. So you know what? Schumacher moving to AlphaTauri, hopefully. But the reason why we want him there is because we want him to be like, you know what? I'm going to win all of this stuff with Audi. Now you don't necessarily have to think of Schumacher with my dad. You can think of Schumacher with
me. He's making a name for himself.
As much as he can, considering his name's already made.
Again, still when I see the MSC Cruise Lines, I'm like,
Michael Schumacher Cruise Lines.
But no, I think it's going to be very interesting if they haven't released Schumacher's position or other driver seats in the grid for the remaining next two races. They're leaving it very late because
when do you think we'll find out?
Today, tomorrow.
I don't think so. I reckon before Monza.
I reckon after the race.
Like, after the race today?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So, like, say if someone who hasn't got a confirmed seat yet, so, like, Latifi, if Latifi does really badly, be like, oh, I'm just paving the way for Nyck de Vries.
Okay, so that's closing off the last commentary about Marcus Ericsson's prediction. He also predicts that Nicholas Latifi will be dropped at the end of this year to have his seat filled by Nyck de Vries. I'm all for that. Nyck de Vries is a year younger than us. He's won Formula E. Well, let's give him a go.
But Mercedes have dropped their Formula E team, so it's not like... he's going to be driving for their Formula E team next year, so he's free.
And you know what? They're also showing him more.
In the Mercedes garage.
In the garage. Which is interesting because they never showed him before and they don't show the reserve drivers at all. The only reserve drivers they have shown have been Jack Doohan, Oscar Piastri and Nyck de Vries. Like they've got Giovinazzi. Actually, no, they had Robert Schwartzman when he was there for that 1 week, which is fair. Another Ferrari junior driver. But when Giovinazzi was in there, they never showed him.
Think about the past years. The past years, they always showed Albon. He was a reserve driver. Exactly. So I hope Nyck de Vries gets Williams.
I want him there.
If Russell is someone to look at as an indicator of how Williams is a great team to train somebody up and get them into good positioning and driver understanding, et cetera,
experience gaining.
Thank you. Albon is a good example of that. Same with Russell. So,
but also closing this out, where you've noticed that we've not mentioned anything around Alfa Romeo. That's because we think Bottas and Joe will stay.
I like him.
Me too. I want him to stay. Well.
That and he seems very...
normal.
Yeah. I mean, he's a good match for Bottas.
I think so as well. And I think he's a necessary match for Bottas after the intensity of
Hamilton
the rest of his years. Okay, so we...
But hold on. I'm looking at our notes.
Anything else you want to cover off? Because we've been talking for a long time today.
Mercedes have a great pace. Oh, Perez spun out. Oh, we missed the big thing. Perez spun out on like the final...
Ruined Mercedes' final run.
The third sector. So it was tracking that both Hamilton and Russell were faster than the Red Bull and the Ferrari.
In sector one and two.
We don't know about sector three because they're still slower out.
But the predicted speed in three was slower than the Ferrari and Red Bull. However, the reduction in time in one and two was quick enough that their slower pace in sector three wouldn't have made too much of a negative impact.
So anyway, speaking of Hamilton sitting at fourth and Russell sitting at sixth from qualifying, they're two to watch. Speaking about two people to watch, what do you think will be your
predictions?
Top three and then your wild card. Top three and then wild card.
I think Max is going to win.
Okay.
Because regardless of whether I think he's going to have the fastest car, but I think he's got the motivation to block more than he normally would.
He seems so happy.
Because it's his home race, I reckon he's going to block and defend more than he regularly would on a match.
He doesn't have Perez to support him either, so he kind of needs to too.
Yes. So I think Max will be first.
Max, yep. Okay, Verstappen. Two and three.
Hamilton second.
Hamilton. Okay.
Yeah, I reckon Hamilton second.
Third.
Let's go top five this week.
Oh, okay. Ruin my list.
Third, science. I hadn't thought
of fourth and fifth, but, you know, let's do fourth and fifth. Hold on, fifth. Wild card. So who's your third?
Science.
Science. Our boy, science.
Fourth, Russell.
Russell. Okay, so he's continuing.
And then Leclerc. That's why I was like, let's go to five because I want to. And then.
So who's your wild card?
Schumacher. Dude finished ninth. No, eighth. Dude finished eighth in qualifying. He's got the confidence this week.
But his best finish is a sixth.
But he's got the confidence going in. Regardless of whether he does well tonight or not, the confidence has been set there. So he will go in with a good mindset. What about you? Top five and wild card.
I think Hamilton will win this year.
Out of spite, purely because of what.
So Rosberg said some commentary. He's like, oh, Lewis has at least won one race every single year. Lewis hasn't won a race yet.
And this is theoretically Mercedes' potentially strongest track of the last races.
And based on the weather, if there's a weekend to do it, it's this weekend.
Well, look at me. I put Hamilton second and Russell fourth.
So I think it's going to be a Hamilton-Russell 1-2.
You know what?
Yeah,
I would love it to be Russell Hamilton. I don't think it's going to happen.
It won't be Russell Hamilton.
I would love that. No,
because hold on. My third is Verstappen. So they're going to ask Russell to hold back Verstappen.
Oh, yeah, in order to get Hamilton.
Yep.
And, you know, and I think, oh, it'll be like Monza last year. Yep. Norris was like, oh, I want to win my first race. Yep. And they're like, we need to let Ricciardo win because it means more for his confidence. Yep. And the same thing. So that means technically it would be Russell first and then Hamilton second. But then Mercedes is going to go, no, you need to let Lewis win one. He needs that record. You can win the next one.
So Hamilton, Russell, Verstappen, Leclerc, Sainz, because Ferrari will be like, Sainz needs the points. So
I agree.
Leclerc, Sainz.
I agree that Leclerc needs the points more than Sainz. However, Sainz seems to be a little bit more lucky.
Yep. And my wild card is Stroll.
I love that.
So my wild card last week was Stroll.
Just keep on saying Stroll.
I'm going to keep on saying Stroll is my wild card because the boring Aston Martin have been doing very well.
But you may not need to have it as a wild card. You could have it as a third.
No, he's my wild card because I don't think he can beat out the top three teams yet. But the only so in the qualifying, Stroll made it to the top 10. However, he didn't even come out in
Q3. He could have gone higher.
There was some technical difficulty with the car. So Stroll is my wild card, and Stroll's going to be my wild card for the next however many races until he gets into the top five. Yeah.
It'll be like Brazil, and you're like, no wild card for him. Vettel is my wild card.
Anyway, we have talked for a very long time today, 52 minutes and counting, though don't know
see
how long.
See you in about 8 hours time then, right?
8 hours. Whatever it is. Anyway, thank you for listening. Wear your grid gas bags until post.
Everyone get prepared for the Dutch GP. Race. Everyone enjoy the race tonight. We
and
will talk
fingers
to
crossed
you
that there are
at
no
the
flag.
End.
No flares
on the track.
We want flags. We don't want flares.
Yeah.
Okay. Bye.
Bye, everyone.